True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show. We're live and local till 3 p.m. That's when I hand it off to Grant and Danny, but it's burger night from 3 p.m. to midnight. Get a cheeseburger for $2.95 or add bacon and beer cheese like I like to do for $3.95. From the NFL to the college ranks, time to meet at the corner of College Street and University Drive here on AWOD Radio.
Let's go to University Drive. Scores, rivalries, rankings, all the college football in the state of Virginia. We'll follow the action all season long.
Oh, yeah!
University Drive on AWOD Radio.
Hokey Steve joins us now. Hokey Steve, how was your weekend?
It was good. It was very good. A lot of just couch sitting, football watching, remote control surfing. It was a ton of football. Friday night did Huguenot against Manchester, and that ended up not being a great game, but it was a football weekend for sure.
Well, Steve, I want to bring you in on a topic that we were talking about last segment. I mean this with the most respect possible. I take one look at you, and I feel like you have a cable box.
Yes, I do.
So yeah. You are not disrupted by YouTube TV Disney.
Yeah, you know, I heard every bit of the conversation. I used to be a DirecTV guy because you had to have DirecTV to get the NFL ticket, right? So I was always a Direct. I was a DirecTV guy for 20 years. I have thought about it, but every time I hear the conversation that you just had, I'm just like, F it. I'm not dealing with it. I'm just going to pay for what. Now, I wish I could get – here's what I wish I could get. And I would pay, you know, $39, $49, $59, whatever the magic number is, if I could handpick every single freaking station that I want.
Yeah.
And I would pay big bucks to have ESPN with the ACC and SEC and all that stuff. And, you know, locals and news and weather, and then I could handpick the rest. And they just need to figure that out because that's what needs to happen.
Yeah, but it's funny because everybody that did not cut the cord is the one that's sitting pretty right now.
Well, again, I just decided I didn't want to deal with it. I mean, you know, I've looked at YouTube, I've looked at Hulu, I've looked at FUBU and FUBO, and I've looked at them all. The bottom line is I just want to, when I grab that black remote baby, I just want to hit enter, and I want to be able to see whatever I want to see.
Yeah.
And that's where we are right now. I'm also paying a ridiculous amount of money
right.
to get that, but guess what? The aggravation, I mean, especially a sports guys like us, I don't want to have to deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Period.
Great stuff. All right, let's get into the ACC, which got really a lot of changes in the standings because UVA lost to Wake Forest and lost their quarterback. And so now Georgia Tech's at the top of the standings without having to play a game.
Right.
Virginia's in second. Pittsburgh's in third. SMU fourth. Duke right there in fifth at 4-1. And they had a bad weekend as well. But
yeah, but
I'm so pissed about what happened to Virginia. I'm so pissed about what happened because Chandler Morris went to protect himself in a slide, and two guys hit him.
I know.
Two guys hit him.
I saw it. You know, if it was me, if it was my team, if it was, you know, Kyron Jones or whoever, I would be extremely pissed. I understand the rule. I understand it's also very tough to sit there and, you know, when the guy's getting ready to slide, just completely. I mean, the NFL has the same thing. And if you go back to the week of the Hokies Cal game and you saw that roughing the passer penalty, how is that roughing the passer when the guy jumps up in the air, he hits him as he's trying to dump the pass off? I don't know. It's just really extremely hard to sit there and say, you know. I mean, I don't know. It's just hard. It's hard to be able to enforce. It sucks for Chandler Morris. It sucks for UVA.
Yeah, and Chandler Morris was already beat up this season.
I know.
I'm devastated for him because I already know the committee's not going to look at that game and say they lost their quarterback. They're just going to say you lost the game.
Yeah. Here's the good news for Virginia. They've got two conference games left. They got one at home against the Hokies. They got at Duke Saturday. You know, they
control their own destiny.
They control their own. You know, like you said, I think you said, you know, Georgia Tech's on the top. Not really. Virginia's 5-1. It's a three-way tie. Excuse me, a four-way tie for first right now between Virginia, Georgia Tech, Pitt, and SMU.
Yeah.
But I'm looking at it, and I still think Virginia's going to have a really tough game at Duke on Saturday. A game that, to me, I was giving Duke the edge anyway, and now probably if Morris doesn't play, I would give him a heck of a lot. You know, I'll probably give him a 70% chance to win.
Yeah, but I just think the Wahoo season that has been so magical is over because of an injury, and I think the committee is now going to absolutely make the ACC a one-bid league. This is what they wanted.
Well, I told you that last week, right? They're gonna have to play their way. Georgia Tech's now going to have to run the table. If they're going to get a second team in, let's just say Georgia Tech runs the table, Virginia runs the table, SMU loses one of these last two games. I think Pitt, who right now is 5-1, they've got the toughest road. I mean, they've got Notre Dame at home, then they're at Georgia Tech.
But they have also the biggest room for resume builders.
They do, no doubt about it. I'm looking at it saying Georgia Tech and SMU have the easiest way to get into to go to Charlotte.
I agree.
To go to Charlotte.
Yeah. But, you know, you can't just go to Charlotte. You have to go to Charlotte and win it.
But if Virginia runs a table, let's just say if Virginia runs a table, Georgia Tech runs a table, Georgia Tech is 11-1 with a win over Georgia and then loses to Virginia in the ACC championship game, that's a scenario where I see, depending on what happens with Texas this weekend down in Athens, that's a scenario where they could play themselves back into it.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I'm on your side now. The ACC is going to be a one-bid league.
Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, and that's because. Because
Louisville just screwed themselves.
Well, Louisville screwed themselves. You know, Duke already had three losses, so I don't think they were really in the big picture for the at-large. Pitt's got the biggest, like you said, Pitt's got the biggest resume building if they can run the table.
Because Pitt can, here's the thing is, Pitt can open up a spot. That's what's, open up a spot by eliminating Notre Dame. If Pitt beats Notre Dame, that's the opportunity for the ACC to maybe get a second team in.
Yeah.
I don't know if I see Pitt beating Notre Dame.
I don't either. I mean, I watched, well, not so much the game against Navy, but really what they've done since they lost that game, that second game to Texas A&M. I mean, to me, Notre Dame is one of the top six best teams in the country right now. I mean, the way they're beating people handily. I think they go to Pitt Saturday and get the win, and then they've got Syracuse and Stanford. So I think they're 10-2. If they're 10-2, it's going to be hard to keep them out.
So we were saying last week, at least you were, that UVA's wins haven't been impressive enough with the 3-point win in overtime. Well, what about Indiana?
Yeah.
Needing to come from behind to beat an awful Penn State team. What does that say about the Big Ten?
Well, again, I've only got three Big Ten teams in there to begin with. Oregon was almost going to be out if they didn't kick the field goal at Kinnick Stadium the other night against Iowa. I'm not super impressed with Indiana. I am really impressed with that last drive, I got to say. The plays that the quarterback made, the plays that those guys made. Ohio State's solid, but Indiana now is 10-0, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't keep a Big Ten team out at 10-0.
No, but the Indiana has figured something out here, and now I feel like all of the Big Ten is jumping on, which is – we just don't schedule hard, and we don't lose. And then at the end of the day, you have to include us. Like, Our Oregon season was screwed. They were over. And then they kick field goal. They beat Iowa. But who have they beaten this year? Who is any good that Oregon has beaten?
Arguably their best win at the time was beating Penn State.
Right.
At Penn State. But now that didn't look so good.
Right.
So that's why
I'm
saying.
Indiana just beat Penn State barely. Right?
To me, IU, Indiana's got the better resume just because they went to Oregon and won that game. Mm-hmm. So if I'm leaving one team out, you know, it's still Oregon. But with Oregon still, Oregon's hanging around, and obviously, you know, they've just got the one loss, right? So Ohio State's in, obviously Indiana's in right now, and Oregon right now is that third team.
Yeah, and I think there's a case to be made for the Big Ten to get a fourth team in. Even though I don't support the Big Ten, because they schedule so cupcake,
right.
At the end of the day, they're going to have two teams probably undefeated, right? And
yep.
Then USC gives themselves an opportunity. Michigan gives themselves an opportunity to compete with Oregon for that third spot, and maybe it open up for a fourth spot. Because I'm telling you right now, if Michigan finishes 10-2 with a win over Ohio State, there's no chance the committee doesn't put them in.
Yeah, I can see that, but what if Texas beats Georgia this weekend? Then what do you got?
Right.
Because I'm telling you right now, Alabama's in, A&M's in, Ole Miss is in, Georgia's in. And Georgia's just got the one loss.
See, that's the thing is that I think the SEC can lose a spot because of the way it plays out, but they can also gain a spot.
If Texas goes to Athens this weekend and wins, they've got even with Georgia's loss, even with Georgia having two losses, as long as they don't lose again, I think they've still got five teams in. And if Texas does lose to Georgia this weekend, which is, I think, what's going to happen, what do you do with a 10-2 Vanderbilt team at that point?
Right, right. Because I look at Georgia's schedule here, and I think that they could end up on the outside if they lose to Texas and lose to Georgia Tech.
That's a pot, yeah. Like
right?
I said, and that's the way, to me, I like that scenario better for the ACC. I think that's a more impressive win, Georgia Tech beating Georgia, but
the SEC teams with two overall losses, all right, are all still in it. Oklahoma,
yeah.
Vanderbilt, Texas, Ole Miss, Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M.
I think you can, again, Oklahoma's got to play at Alabama this weekend. I think the Tide knocked them out. So that literally leaves at that point a Vanderbilt team who's got to play Kentucky and at Tennessee. So if they do win those two games and they end up 10-2, and Texas loses, but Texas can, if Texas beats Georgia, if Texas runs the table, that means they will have a win over Georgia in the last 3 weeks and Texas A&M.
Yeah, and we'll see what happens tomorrow night when another bracket gets revealed. And the G5 might be the JMU Dukes.
It could very easily be. I mean, as long as the American keeps beating up on each other, which is what's happening, the Dukes are sitting pretty at 8-1. They've got Appalachian State this weekend. They've got Washington State at home next weekend, and then they go to Coastal.
The big one.
And then they go to Coastal, and then they've got they would host the Sun Belt Championship.
But that Coastal game in Coastal, that's everything for the Dukes.
The Chanticleers are actually playing pretty well right now. Navy, getting back to the AAC for a second, to me it comes down to South Florida, Tulane, and North Texas. Navy and South Florida play this weekend. That's an elimination game right there.
Yep.
If South Florida wins, they've got they've got at UAB and Rice. They're not losing again. That's going to make them 7-1 in the league, and potentially Tulane can be 7-1 in the league. And North Texas could actually be 7-1 in the league. The AAC has got
But are any of those teams leaping JMU if they don't lose?
Here's my thing with JMU, and Duke fans are not going to like this. South Florida has a Power Four win.
Yeah.
It's against a bad Florida team, but they have a Power Four win. Tulane has two Power Four wins. They beat Northwestern and they beat Duke. JMU cannot have any of those because they've only played one Power Four team. That was Louisville, and they lost.
So you don't care that South Florida has two losses overall.
I'm just telling you the way I think the committee is going to look at the strength of schedule in this situation.
So basically what you're saying is a 10-2 South Florida team is in over an 11-1 JMU team.
If South Florida runs a table and wins the AAC, and that would actually make them 11-2, I think it would be hard to keep them out with a win in Gainesville.
Yeah.
So, again, JMU just doesn't have that impressive win. And if you look at their strength of schedule, versus South Florida strength of schedule and Tulane strength of schedule, I think that's where they get in trouble.
Yeah, I just wonder if the committee, if they have JMU above those teams, is there an opportunity
to leap JMU without a loss? Tomorrow night is a big deal. Let's see, because JMU is now ranked 24th, right,
yep,
in the AP poll. Let's see what happens tomorrow night, because Memphis
in
the CFP poll, because obviously that's the one that matters, right?
Yeah.
The AP and the coaches poll, they don't matter. So let's see what happens tomorrow night. If JMU is that team, that G5 team, the highest G5 team, then if they went out, then I think they're in good shape.
Let's get to both of our 12-team playoff predictor when we return here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan, not 105.1 FM.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan, equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now at 105.1 FM, every Tuesday night, the college football playoff top 25 is revealed, and a dramatic reveal of the 12-team bracket. This is not going to be as dramatic, but Hokie Steve and I are going to go through our 12 teams right now.
Let's go conference by conference.
All right. And I think you have to start with the Big Ten, because that's slots one and two.
All right. So I've got Ohio State, I've got Indiana, and I've still got Oregon in there is my three teams from the Big Ten.
So you're sticking with three for the Big Ten.
Correct.
Tell me how they get a fourth team in.
Like you said, if Michigan ends up 10-2 with a win over Ohio State on the Saturday after Thanksgiving, I think that elevates somebody like Michigan. And I didn't look at USC's schedule coming in here, but
they have an opportunity.
They've got an opportunity. I think I like either one of those.
They've
two
got
teams.
Iowa, Oregon, and UCLA.
They've got two huge games potentially to play their way in.
If let's say USC beats Iowa, all right, USA
yep.
Oregon, is that an elimination game?
Yeah, I think it could, very well easily could be.
Because I think if USC beats Oregon, then you go back to, well, what's their big win on the season? Penn State.
Right.
Does nothing for me.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the next team. So you've got three.
I've got three.
From the Big Ten.
What about you?
SEC. I've got three as well.
Okay.
And I actually think Oregon's going to win that game and get it.
I really thought Oregon was going to lose to Iowa, and I said that last week. I said they've got a tough game at Kinnick. The weather was bad. It was perfect for Iowa to win that game, and you know they had to kick a field. They had to walk off, kick a field goal
yeah.
to get out of there alive. So,
and I also don't think Michigan will beat Ohio State. I think Ohio State is, as much as I'm down on the Big Ten, I think Ohio State's been the best team in the country.
Michigan, the only reason I give Michigan a serious shot in that game is because the game is at Michigan.
And they did it last year, too.
And they did it. They beat them in Ohio. They beat them in Columbus.
Yeah. All right, SEC, we've got, of course, in the top 25 here, you got a ton of representatives, but Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia are the big three.
Texas A&M, I've got Ole Miss in there, too.
Okay.
So, I mean, those, and then I at this point, as of today, I'm telling you that if they had to pick it today, Texas gets in as a fifth team.
So you would go Texas A&M, Alabama, Georgia, Ole Miss, Texas also.
Correct.
All right. So
correct.
But you're going to, on this record, you're going to just pick four.
Okay. Well, then those are my four. Alabama, Texas A&M, Ole Miss, and Georgia.
Okay. And then we go to the Big 12.
The Big 12. I've got, because Texas Tech was so dominant the other day against BYU, and BYU still has to go to play a game at Cincinnati in 2 weeks, I think Texas Tech right now is the one team that gets in the Big 12.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not convinced. I think BYU could take another loss or very easily could lose to Cincinnati in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I think BYU will win a couple of big games and get in. I can see the Big 12 getting two representatives.
Well, but if BYU ends up running the table and then beats, they would have to then beat Texas Tech in the Big 12 championship game, which, by the way, that game's in Dallas.
Could you see them losing the Big 12 championship game and getting in?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so.
So you're sticking with one Big 12.
Yeah, I'm sticking with one.
And the ACC?
And I'm sticking with one. And that would be, like I said, Georgia. I think Georgia Tech and SMU have the two best shots to get to Charlotte. And I think Georgia Tech would win that game.
Yeah, I agree. I'd be interested to see if SMU gets back to the ACC championship game, do they play better this year, right? Because they did not show up last year in that game against Clemson, at least until the second half.
Well, you're right, and then Clemson had to kick a field goal, walk off field goal to beat them. But they're off this week, so they can get healthy a little bit. Then they've got Louisville next week at home, and then they got to go to Cal. So I really think SMU is solid at 7-1. I mean, there's a scenario where it's crazy, but there's about five teams that could go 6-2 in the league.
And yeah.
Again, then you got crazy tiebreakers.
Then it opens up for everyone.
Then you got crazy tiebreakers. This is a huge game for Virginia this week down at Duke. If they can somehow find a way to win, then obviously they're in a lot better shape than a lot of people think they are right now.
Yeah, and we'll be listening to Tony Elliott speaking with the media here today and tomorrow, but I don't have very much confidence that Chandler Morris can return because it just looked bad. And I just don't know
about the concussion protocol. You know, after he was on the sidelines in the third and fourth quarter,
yeah,
in street clothes, and I read a post game thing that said Elliott said, "Hey, he said he was okay," but every kid says they're okay, right?
Right. And so, why, if he was okay, why wouldn't he have returned? Because there was some kind of protocol that he didn't meet.
Well,
right?
2 weeks ago, Arch Manning got knocked out of a game. He was in concussion protocol, and then he played the next week against Vanderbilt, and they came back and they won.
All right. Are you putting Notre Dame in?
I think they go 10-2, and I think Notre Dame is solid at 10-2 in the tournament.
And then, who is your G5 rep?
Right now, I think if it was today, I would think it would be USF today.
I mean, that's not going to make our JMU listeners happy at all.
I know. And again, the only reason I'm saying that is because South Florida has a win over Florida, and JMU does not have a Power Four win. And again, I think the committee, based on what I saw last week, is going to put huge numbers behind the strength of schedule.
So if you have
Black Friday, more like Black Friday, shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speeds low after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
At Maurice's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Maurice's.com.
Four SEC, three from the Big Ten, that's seven. Notre Dame is 8.
Right.
Texas Tech, Georgia Tech, South Florida, 11.
Right.
Who's the 12th school?
Well, I'm going the SEC gets one more team in, and that would be Texas.
Yeah.
If that's what I'm saying. I think as of today, Texas is in. If they lose to Georgia, then they're out.
That's why I have the Big 12 getting a second team. Because if it comes down to the ACC versus the Big 12, what do you think the committee is going to pick?
Who gets the second team in? If Georgia Tech beats Georgia, then I think the ACC's got that's their best shot.
That's their best shot.
Because
they still have that opportunity.
If Pitt runs a table and ends up 10-2 and then loses a 41-38 walk-off to whoever, that would be a scenario. But I still like the Georgia. I think what Georgia Tech has done to date. Georgia Tech has been – we've been talking about Georgia Tech all year.
Yeah.
We haven't been talking about Pitt all year, right? Georgia Tech has got a lot more right now street cred in this deal, even with the loss to NC State, which was a bad loss. I agree. But I just think, with a win over Georgia, that would solidify them to get the second team in.
So I think Louisville and Pitt, and then you look at Cincinnati and Utah. Who are you picking between those four teams there?
To be a second team,
yeah. I'm probably leaning towards Utah or Cincinnati. Now Utah just beat Cincinnati
badly,
and that was a big win for Utah.
Yeah,
and they will have an opportunity to build a resume, not like as much as they really need it to, over the next 3 weeks with Baylor, Kansas State, and Kansas. If they finish 10-2, they certainly are going to be in the hunt here, and. I think the committee will have to choose. Is it going to be a second Big 12, a second ACC, or are we just going to give another spot to the big dogs? I would rather give a second to either the Big 12 or the ACC.
I personally would rather give it to the ACC if we had to choose. But, again, I think the strength of schedule and what you do, especially up – I think they're really looking at the whole body work, but I think the strength of schedule is huge. And I just don't think Cincinnati and Utah are in the equation right now. They're going to have to play their way in, which means Cincinnati will have to beat BYU. But I was really impressed with what Texas Tech did on Saturday.
I was too.
They dominated. They dominated from that game from start to finish. And the fact that they had the Big 12 championship game in their home state, I think Texas Tech will be the clear cut Big 12, champion. And they'll be going. I don't know if they get a second team in. And that's why, when you give the committee an opportunity to reward somebody like a Texas or a Vanderbilt or a Michigan, I think they take that route.
Yeah, because they're going to reward you for the strength of schedule and the body of work that you put together for the entire season.
Correct.
And the ACC, they struggled at the beginning of the year, and as they have in the last few seasons. For our Virginia fans listening, you got to find a way to beat Duke, beat Virginia Tech,
yep,
and win the ACC title game.
Yeah, then you're in.
Yeah.
Again, they still control their own destiny.
Right.
You win out, you're in.
Yeah.
And they've got an off week next week too. So if there's any scenario where, they go down and get the win at Duke, and then they have another week to get Morris healthy if he doesn't play on Saturday, then he's healthy for the Hokies. So, yeah, I mean, again, you win, you went out, you're in. It's that simple.
Yeah, even though you just come off of a heartbreaking loss and you lost your quarterback, you still have everything to play for.
Yeah, absolutely. They were the only undefeated team going into Saturday. They were the only undefeated team in the ACC in the league. Hmm. So they've just got the one loss. Now you've got four teams that are sitting at 5-1.
Yeah,
and two teams that are 4-2. And I think SMU of the 5-1 teams are probably playing the best football right now.
Yeah.
So
it's going to be interesting next few weeks here in the ACC and all things college football. That was Hokie Steve. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, broadcasting live from Capitol Ale House here in Innsbruck. Come on down, grab a beer, and check out the show. And we've got a listener here that wants us to talk Virginia Tech basketball. We'll get to that in the final segment because I was super impressed with a big win over Providence and how good Neo Avdalis looked. I mean, he looked like a top 10 pick. He was terrific. Hansberry was good. Toby LaWall with a couple of big rebounds and dunks as well. So we'll get into all things college basketball next segment. But here on Richmond's home for VCU hoops, you heard the Rams battle on Friday night from Frisco, Texas against Utah State, a game that went down to the final buzzer. Joining us right now, play-by-play, is Robbie Robinson. We got Rodney Ashby, the big man with us here, the color analyst on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. What's going on, Rodney?
Oh, not much. Just got back and get settled and excited about Wednesday night and see if we can get that sour taste of that tough loss out of our mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you were there. You were at the game. While a lot of us were either listening or trying to follow along on Urban Edge Network as it, you know, delayed and delayed and delayed. So from your eyes, your vantage point, how the hell did they erase that 18-point deficit?
Yeah, I tell you what, I think people are still waiting. Somebody said they were still waiting for it to buffer this morning. I saw somebody posted, so it's still not back. But I think that, you know, they came back, and I think it shows a little bit of grit for this team. And, you know, because they were down 18, it would have been very easy for them just to pack it up, take the 20-25-point loss, and come on back and start over again. But they didn't, and they did it because they started to get stops, started over-committing and allowing easy layups for, you know, Utah State, and then they started to shoot the ball. They started to get some nice shots. That offense started popping a little bit, and, you know, we started to shoot from behind the arc. I mean, so far this year, from behind the arc, I mean, we're shooting, you know, almost 40%.
Yeah, I thought Tyrell Ward brought a lot of energy in the second half of that one, part of the furious comeback that did fall short in Texas. But it was so good to see him get going because I think he's going to be a massive part of this team offensively and defensively.
Yeah, I agree. I think he did add some energy, a little bit of a spark there. He only played 4 minutes in the first half, but came out and gave some pretty big minutes in the second half during that 18-point comeback. And where part of the reason we were able to, you know, bring it even before not being able to finish it. But, you know, look, Rams have six people averaging 10 points. We're going to need lots of people on different nights or, you know, different people on different nights and depending on matchups and things like that. But, you know, this early in the season to have six guys averaging 10 points and another two averaging 8 or 8.5, that's saying something about, you know, the type of talent and bucket getters we have on this team.
Robbie Robinson on the call here alongside Rodney Ashby as we bring you closer to the action. This was the back-to-back threes that helped VCU cut into the lead.
Game. Ward a three in the corner. Yes, sir! Ward just hit a three. He's got five straight points. It's an 8-point game. 75-67, 2:40 to go. Elijah Perryman into the front court, beats his man, drives the lane, layup, no, rebound, Bell, outlet pass to Evans, Rams have the ball down by 8. Here's Lewis, he shoots a 3 to get it to 5, oh my, he does! It's 75-70, Nick Lewis for 3, and the Rams still have a pulse here in Big D! Utah State calls a timeout! It is a 5-point game as back-to-back three balls by Tyrell Ward and Nick Lewis has got it to a 5-point VCU deficit.
So, Rodney, after the game, I thought it was very interesting when Coach Martelli talked about the individuals have experiences, but they needed a collective experience. What do you think he meant by that?
Well, I think it means we have nine new guys, and they're melding together. You know, if you put – it's not a one-on-one game, right? It's, you know, five-on-five, and you play – we've always said that a team is stronger than any individual, and they're still trying to get to that team-type cohesion, kind of that, you know, playing together. And it's not that they don't want to, but they're still learning each other a little bit. You get nine new guys, brand new coach, new system. I mean, and every team in America is dealing with this. It's not just the Rams. So, but I think that's what he was talking about. You know, this team is stronger than any individual, and we have work to do to start to play more as a team.
Yeah, and it's so tough to erase a double-digit deficit, especially when there's, like, nobody in the crowd. And I thought the fact that they were able to create their own energy from the bench unit, from the guys sitting on the bench, was definitely a big positive to take away. And I want to get your take on this, Rodney, because here's what I've been saying to my audience is 16 of 28 from the free throw line sucks, but sometimes this is what you get early in the season where you just don't realize how tired you're going to be when you step to the line. Tracy's so much better than 3 of 9. Same with Tyrell Ward being 4 of 8. I just think they were gassed and their, you know, tired legs, they didn't really hold their form. What did you see from the free throw line?
I mean, I saw a lot of misses. I don't know that I know enough. You know, on the way home, we talked about, you know, Robbie and I talked a little bit about, you know, why do you think that was? We went everything from, you know, fatigue to the type of building. You know, we played in a G League arena that really is a hockey arena, deep end zones, really deep end zones with a lot of open space. Definitely a different type of environment, too. There was probably about 450 kids there. I mean, and then their parents, and that was it. And, but it was an interesting environment. It was a nice arena, but it the end zones were a little bit deep. And I think, again, just these guys learning how to play and putting so much pressure on themselves is a reason that they weren't able to finish. I tell you what, in the BDC, they're knocking them down. So it's not that they're not practicing them. It's not that they don't have the ability to make them. They, you know, sometimes you're just going to have an off night, and unfortunately it bit us in the butt on Friday night against Utah State and Frisco.
Rodney Ashby with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. You know, I saw a lot of fans frustrated because it was another missed opportunity here to get a big out-of-conference win. But it's like these things are so tough every single year. Both teams want this win desperately. Utah State felt the exact same way. I mean, how do you respond to the fans, to the listeners out there, diehard Ram fans? They're disappointed by another missed opportunity here in the non-conference.
Look, there's nobody more disappointed than the staff and the team. But, I, you know, again, like you said, Utah State wanted that too. It's a very good team in a very good league. They're picked second behind San Diego, which, you know, has a pretty good team as well. In the Mountain West, has been a multi-team, multi-bid league for multiple years now. And so, you know, that was a very, very good test, very, very early, you know, and you can't make excuses because it was their second game too, but I'd love to see them in about five or six games and see, you know, let's throw the ball back up and do it again, but that's just not what it'll be. So now what we have to do is turn the page quickly, get back, you know, hopefully a get-right game against St. Peter's, and then see what we can do with our former coach, Coach Wade, down at NC State on next Monday night.
Yeah, I do think that the schedule this year has a lot more opportunities maybe than previous seasons to get some of these big non-conference wins that would be resume builders. Give us one more bright spot from a game here outside of the big comeback and the loss to Utah State.
I mean, if you're not excited about the freshman Nick Lewis, you haven't watched us play yet. I mean, he's averaging 14.5-point games. He's defensively very, very solid. He's not built like your average freshman, I can assure you of that. I mean, he's averaging about almost 26 minutes a game. I think he's a very, very bright spot. You know, as a freshman, I love to see his poise and how he's controlling the tempo of this VCU Ram team.
Yeah, I'm having so much fun watching him play as well, and I think he's getting better every minute he's out there for the Rams. Gave him 29 big minutes in the game on Friday night. Rodney, thanks for the time, man. We will see you at the Stew on Wednesday.
Look forward to it. See you then.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the New Sports Radio 910 The Fan. Now, welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. We are live and local. It is a Misery Monday, November 10th for the Commanders, for our UVA football fans, but not for Hokies basketball fans, as they got a big win over Providence. And I want to jump right into that right now as we go through everything you might have missed from around the sports world over the weekend. And the Basketball Hall of Fame tip-off game was played between Providence and Virginia Tech. And the hired gun for Virginia Tech this year is a man by the name of Neokalis Avdalis, that they call Neo, who's come over here, and he's going to be a one-and-done. And the way I saw him play over the weekend, he's going to be a top 15 pick in the NBA draft. I heard a lot of comparisons to him stylistically to what BYU had last year in a freshman who came over, 18-year-old from Russia, in Yegor Demin. Neokalis Avdalis, Neo, basically ran the point forward for Virginia Tech in 33 points in 34 minutes. Had 5 rebounds, 6 assists, a block and a steal, and did everything for Virginia Tech in a overtime victory, 107-101 against Providence. The game was on Peacock, and if you missed it, I'll tell you what you missed. You missed dominance from Virginia Tech's rookie who's come in here, and he is everything as advertised and more. When I saw the film on him, I'm like, all right, they got a really good slasher that at 6'9", 6'10", will probably score in the paint. I did not realize how much he would be able to score outside of the paint and how he could basically run Mike Young's offense as a point forward. He was setting up the offense. He was the closer. He was the finisher, and he was the assist man as well. The entire game, Providence had a lead, it felt like, and 46-40 at the break. But every time Virginia Tech needed a bucket, Avdalis was there for him. He was 5 of 8 from three-point range, had a bunch of assists to Jalen Bedford, who hit 3 big threes as well. Amani Hansberry was a dominant force on the glass with 11 rebounds to go along with 3 assists and 17 points for him. And Toby Lawal also had 13 rebounds. And with Lawal and Hansberry down low, it lets Avdalis be a point guard, even though he's basically 6'9", 6'10". And I was just so impressed with his ability to run the offense. Really nice one-handed passes up the court. And finding his teammates, he found Ben Hammond for a few big buckets there. Jaden Shute was good as well for Virginia Tech off the bench, had 10 points. And this is a Providence team that's got a lot of talent with Coach Kim English. And I think that's a huge win for Virginia Tech. And they have to get right back to work because they've got another big non-conference game coming up on Wednesday against an 8-10 opponent in St. Joseph's. That game will air on ACC Extra. So Virginia Tech 2-0 to start this season. And you look at their non-conference schedule, there are some very difficult games. St. Joseph's, all right, then Charlotte should be able to win that. And then against a Bryant team that won their conference last year and has a new head coach. Then Colorado State, one of the top teams from the Mountain West. And then South Carolina, and then George Mason. So some really difficult out-of-conference games for Virginia Tech, but some games that they can certainly build up a resume and then maybe end up being even a top 25 team if they continue to play well when we get to ACC play here. Because I really think that win against Providence is going to look good when the committee looks back in March. So that was a big win for Virginia Tech, and I was just so impressed. I mean, if you're a Virginia Tech sports fan and you normally are all things football, pay attention to the basketball team. When we talked to Mike Young at ACC tip-off, he said this might be the most talented his team he's ever had, and we're seeing that. He needed money in the program because Mike Young can freaking coach. He's been able to coach for a long time, almost 50 years now in college basketball. He needs talent, and the talent level last year was just not good enough. And they paid for Amani Hansberry, who was a Maryland Player of the Year in high school, and then got a bag of money, I think, to go to Oklahoma and the West Virginia. Took a lot of money to get him here, right? Probably took a lot of money to keep Toby Lawal, who entered his name into the NBA draft. I'm telling you, he was getting options from SEC teams. Probably took a lot of money to get Jalen Bedford. And so, although it's been an awful Virginia Tech football season, it looks like the money was well spent in basketball. Mike Young can freaking coach, and he's got some talent, including this 6'9 freshman from Greece, Neokalis of Dulles. Jeremy's running the ones and twos behind the board, and you told me the biggest sports event of your weekend was JMU football. And I know you were not happy to hear Hokie Steve say that JMU's still on the outside looking in.
No, I was not happy at all when he said that, but I will counter him with something he won't be happy to hear. I think the ACC is a zero bid league right now. I think USF and JMU get in the playoffs if it ended today. But no, the JMU football game was amazing. They needed to keep winning. Obviously, they're going to have to win out. Everything that Hokie Steve brought up is true. The strength of schedule isn't there. They haven't beaten a Power 4 team. There's a lot to be determined, but if they can win out, if they keep blowing teams out, the way that defense is playing, I think they're the lock for the Group of 5 bid.
Yeah, you just got to keep winning games. It will be very interesting when it comes out tonight, like everything we were saying with Hokie Steve. Will it be South Florida or JMU that is the G5 representative? And you're not alone with the take that the ACC should be a zero-bid league after a couple of big losses over the weekend. One that we kind of overlooked was the Duke loss, right? Because last week we were talking about how Duke could kind of backdoor themselves into the ACC title game. Not anymore.
They still can. That was a non-conference loss. They're going to be 8-4 in the ACC champion.
Yeah, but then you look at the overall record and it's ugly, and you know they still have to play Wake Forest, who seems to be able to win these close games this season. So that was the big sporting events from this weekend. We talked at length about the Commanders and their loss and how embarrassed I was, especially defensively, in the loss to the Detroit Lions. I'm still defending Dan Quinn. And once again, I had people ask me, when are you going to change your mind about Dan Quinn? January 1st, 2027. January 1st, 2027. He's earned 3 years in charge of the Commanders with the success he had in year one, 12 wins in a conference championship. I'm not happy with this at all, but I'm not going to fire the head coach. If you want to fire the defensive coordinator, so be it. Goodbye, Joe Witt Jr. But I'm not going to fire Dan Quinn, and I have not changed my opinion on Adam Peters as the right guy in terms of the general manager. And I think that the trades he made were good. I don't think Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil are the reason this team is losing games. Every day on AWOD Radio is game day. We close the show by highlighting the biggest sporting event of the night on The Fan. Call this game day.
Every day on AWOD Radio is game day. Home of the biggest sports fans in town at 910 The Fan. We'll spotlight the best sporting event of the day here on game day. Yeah, right back and I'm here. I got the whole team in here now. It's feeling like game day in this game day. We're the underdogs of the year. We ranking number one on the list. We put in overtime, so we ready for overtime if the clock ever hits. Gang day. Gang day.
All right, if you missed it earlier in the show, we brought this up on Netflix. I am officially a Fubo free trial subscriber, which means I get a chance to watch ABC ESPN tonight for Monday Night Football, the Eagles against the Packers. I told you, I took one look at Hokie Steve, and I could say, this guy still pays for cable. He's not involved in this Disney's YouTube TV fight because he still has a cable box. Jeremy, J Money running the ones and twos. Are you going to have to find a way to watch the game tonight? Are you going to have to find a way? Or are you a subscriber?
I'm not a subscriber. I'm always going to have to find a way. I've been finding a way for the last year and a half.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to watch the game, you can find a way. But to then get it onto your television and to have it good quality, that's the difficult part. Monday Night Football, though, Eagles against the Green Bay Packers. I'm very excited for this game. And, of course, I'll be rooting against Philadelphia. It just feels like they've got the division wrapped up here once again. Giants fired their coach. Cowboys can't win a game. Washington losing every single week. They could have, what, a four-game lead on everyone in the win column if they can beat the Green Bay Packers tonight. I will take the Eagles and plus 1.5 to go into Green Bay. That's because I think Saquon will have a hell of a game. Grant and Danny are coming up next from Washington, D.C. We'll see you guys tomorrow on The Fan.
True North has something truly fast and friendly. Introducing the True Rewards mobile app. Sign up to get instant access to member-only offers and in-store coupons. As a True Rewards member, track your club status, find a store, and redeem exclusive offers all in one place. Join today and save 25 cents per gallon on your first fill-up and save 5 cents every day. Savings are stackable with Shell Fuel Rewards. Download now from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.